WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Oh, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, very Charlie good. Becker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it's really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but
we have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Another Monday night. Another Monday Night Talk. Welcome to the program this evening, June 5th. 2017. We have a great show lined up for you, as I want to thank the folks here at the station for at least sharing the promo and letting folks know that we do have at 7 o'clock interview that we did with Dave Skill just a couple of days prior to his retiring from WBTD Newsroom. Not retiring, but just kind of, you know, not coming in 3-4 days a week as he was doing, more or less, you know, kind of going to do his thing, do features. So at 7 o'clock, we are going to re-air that that interview that we did with Dave, who was a fantastic guy and somebody that I learned a lot from, and that he's going to be missed by a lot of us here at the radio station. Now, we also have some other guests that are of interest as well. State Representative Paul McMurtry. You're like, who? Well, Mr. McMurtry is a rep in the 11th Norfolk District, and he's actually pushing, I believe that he's the author of a bill that will look to push back school starts. Now, just get the conversation started. There's a lot more that would have to happen, but it's a matter of looking at it and seeing if it's something that should be explored because of some data that has been put forth by the by a national group, a pediatrics group, says that later starts will lead to better grades for our students in K through 12. So we'll speak with Mr. Paul McMurtry about that. We got Ryan Morrow. He is a national security analyst. And this gentleman has, he has quite the resume. Somebody who is from the clarionproject.org. And I guess this organization has produced some films like Obsession, Third Jihad, and Iranium. And Ryan, I guess, has been somebody who has been a consultant to a lot of different government agencies, political campaigns, policymakers, and is a professor when it comes to homeland security and counterterrorism. We're going to kind of get his take on what we've seen over the past, not only this past weekend, but over the past couple of weeks in London. Let's not forget the attacks in Paris, Belgium, Germany. When does it happen here? And when does ISIS claim responsibility? This gentleman is well known. He's done a lot of appearances on radio and TV. A lot of times he's on Fox. A lot of the stuff that I found online, he's done stuff with Fox. We'll talk with him about what should we expect? What should we worry about? We got a new administration. Is the United States next for an attack? Then we're also going to speak with, you know, like I said, at 7 o'clock, we're going to re-air, rebroadcast that interview we did with Dave, a radio guy. We're going to have another radio guy, Jordan Rich, will join us. And he's a radio personality, a gentleman that we've come to know not only for being on WBZ when he's done his weekend program. He's a well-known voice when it comes to radio and television here in the New England area. Voiceover talent, somebody who's also donated a lot of his time to a number of different causes. Most notably, myself, I know, because from time to time I like to donate to Children's Hospital. And one of the people who is kind of the lead person who is always out there asking for folks to remember the hospital, it's Jordan. So we'll look forward to talking with him, as Jordan is one of a number of folks who are going to be part of Radio Classics, Radio TV Classics, at the Buckley Performing Arts Theater Center. Performing Arts Center, the Massasoit's Brockton campus. You want to bring that audio up just a little bit? Of course, I'm speaking to my co-host, Mr. Mark Rushto, who is joining me, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you.
I don't hear you. Hold on. There we go.
Good evening. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. I like that. Plymouth Rocks. I'm looking at his shirt.
That's a whole another night. We'll get them in as guests.
Okay. Something we'll definitely have to keep in mind, as a couple of moments we'll have to step aside for traffic. We'll find out what's happening out on the roadways here. Malcolm Alter will be joining us. You had a chance to hear the rundown. You know some of the folks that we have on.
I did.
One of them, of course, courtesy of, you are the co-promoter of Radio TV Classics, or what's the exact name?
Co-producer?
Co-promoter? What's your title?
Coordinator.
Coordinator.
Yeah. There you go.
Good to know.
So. Yeah, I'm having a great time trying to help help Mr. Bowers and all those others over at Massasoit putting together Radio Classics. It's going to be a good evening, and we have a lot of great talent. It's a fun time. Fun for the whole family.
Right. Now, last week we had a chance to hear from Kenny Meyer,
mm-hmm.
fantastic guy, Hall of Famer, Massachusetts broadcaster, Broadcast Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week prior to that was Hank Philippi Ryan.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. All right, well, we are cruising into the WATD Traffic Center, being brought to you on this end by Brennan Smoke Shop, online at BrennanSmokeShopMA.com, with locations in Plymouth, Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Brainham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now in Pope's Island, New Bedford. Mr. Malcolm Alter, how are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Somebody sent me a picture. You bumped into a good friend of mine, Paul.
That's right. At the Emerson Alumni Weekend.
Yeah, he was very proud of that picture.
Oh, that's good.
He sent it off immediately.
Hey, Mallory, remember that summer we spent almost every weekend in New Hampshire? Tax-free New Hampshire. Gotta love it. That summer was the best.
Jeffrey, the summer we spent almost every weekend on Horseneck Beach? You know I'm a beach girl, and Horseneck is absolutely gorgeous. That summer was definitely the best.
What? Mallory, the summer we went to all the concerts was way better. Aldine, Chesney, Summer Jam, the Sox games? That summer was the best.
Jeffrey, that summer was fun, but not the best. I think last summer was the best. Just hanging around the house with the kids, filling the pool in the backyard. That summer was the best.
Last summer was the best.
Last summer was the best.
Oh, what about that summer Hurricane Irene blew away our wedding day?
Not the best summer.
Well, let's just say summer is the best.
Summer is the best.
Brennan Smoke Shop, wishing you the best summer ever.
That summer before we had kids?
That was the best. That summer was the best.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk.
Thank you for keeping your radio dial set here to 959WATD. Our first guest on Monday Night Talk, he's actually one of the newer individuals to the rotation of state reps and state senators. Not that he's new to office, but one of the things that piqued my interest about our next guest was I believe that there was a petition that was kind of going around in regards to school starts. And I believe that he is one of the folks who is spearheading a study on this. He'll give us all the details if I'm incorrect. We welcome State Representative Paul McMurtry. He represents the 11th Norfolk District. Welcome to Monday Night Talk, Representative.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us, for folks who don't know, tell us a little bit about yourself. I believe the Norfolk District that you represent is Dedham, Wellesley, and what else?
My hometown is Dedham, but I have the good fortune of representing the towns of Dedham, Westwood, and the precinct in the town of Walpole.
Okay, see, I was a W off. I knew better that I should have said Walpole, but you, thank you very much for at least correcting me. And we do a lot of stories from time to time in that vicinity, that area, depending on the magnitude of the particular story. How long have you been in office, and what are some of your fortunes?
Actually, just this week, I celebrated my 10th anniversary. I was elected in 2007 in a special election and sworn into office on May 30th, 2007. So just passed my 10th anniversary in the legislature.
Well, congratulations. See, Mark, you should have brought a cake. We could have had a little bit of a celebration here. So the purpose of having you on, I saw some information. I'm always scouring the internet, looking for information regarding to interesting topics and subjects. And one of the things that I came across is a discussion that we could be hearing about soon in regards to pushing back the starts of school times. What is your understanding of this? How were you approached in regards to maybe possibly putting some legislation forward on it?
Well, it's interesting. It actually was the merging of two different efforts. I filed legislation this session. It's called an Act Encouraging Academic Success, an Act Encouraging Academic Success. The intention of the legislation is to have form a commission, bipartisan, and from the administration, the legislature, and school committees and parents and others, the business community, to form a commission to look at starting school start times later than we already do in the Commonwealth. And then had the good fortune of this week merging with the Massachusetts chapter of Start School Later, and they presented me on the front of the State House stairs a petition with 5,000 signatures of residents of the Commonwealth who support the initiative. So I'm just starting the conversation at the State House. The bill hasn't been scheduled to be heard yet, but it'll be forthcoming, and I think it's worthy of a conversation.
Is this for students from K through 5, or are we talking K through 12? What do you understand in regards to this? Is the general pushback of all grades?
No, so for me, I just want to take a broad look at this. So this legislation would be sort of the precursor to perhaps filing additional legislation rather than just going in, charging with a change in policy from, the start times to a certain different start time. I thought it would be a valuable effort and dialogue to have stakeholders in this conversation gather together, convene, and based on fact, come up with some recommendations that may, facilitate additional legislation. For me, it would be from pre-K up to 12th grade. I would take into consideration. I know the Massachusetts chapter of Starting School Later just suggests that middle school and high school. But I don't want to leave anyone out of the conversation at this point.
Okay. Mark, my co-host who's here, I apologize for not introducing you to the representative, but this gives you an opportunity to springboard an introduction with a question.
Representative McMurdy, welcome to Monday Night Talk. Question for you, is this this topic coming from, or is this study the catalyst from, was there a national study that came around, or what was the basis for folks to stop and take a look at this?
It's an interesting question. I have some of my colleagues ask me as well, is that if I just enjoy one of these being these policy wonks, I think I was referencing. But no, for me, it's I feel a personal moral obligation to make sure that we, policymakers, lawmakers, and decision makers put set forth the best possible environment for academic success for the youth of the Commonwealth. So coincidentally, I that could have, the legislation was filed not with any conversation with any organized effort, other than just from some, a moral obligation I felt strongly about, and then coincidentally coincided with, you know, different organizations and met the medical community, who, in the Academy of Pediatrics and so forth, who feel strongly about this issue.
Did the Academy of Pediatrics, was there a study that they did, or I'm just wondering what the, because I know that there is some scientific, not studies, but information out there that kind of supports what you're trying to do.
Yeah, there's scientific data and medical data that support the efforts. And again, it's a cultural change.
Sure.
So the conversation and shifting and, you know, difficult topic or a difficult cultural change, you know, has to start somewhere. So this groundswell, including, you know, conversations like we're having tonight with your audience, to have people really take a look at this and say, yeah, this is something that should be considered and worthy of a conversation and legislative some legislative action.
Well, when you were approached about this, Representative, did you already start doing a pro and a con, and what are some of the pros to it? And it's obvious what the pros are, where if you're going to get better results from your students because they're well rested, okay, but what are some of the cons that you're also seeing that could offset this, depending on what the debate might be, if there is something to move forward?
No, so none of those conversations have taken place, but I'm well aware that it's a multifaceted conversation, a multifaceted approach,
right.
Especially from, single-parent households, working households that are on a regular schedule.
If I could interrupt just for half a second. No, I realize that any conversation has, I'm saying, as far as inside your head, when this was brought to you, What have been some of the pros and cons that you've been kind of going over yourself internally, saying, how can this work? I know what some of the pros are, but you yourself as an individual weighing some of the cons. That's what I'm asking.
Sure. Well, the reality of it is that, of course, we have to make sure that people are working, and then parents are able with transportation costs. So again, that's what the intentions of this commission are. It's a topic and a subject worthy of that. Where, you know, it does have a negative consequence because of the start time. It has a negative consequence, lifelong consequence in some cases, on the adolescents in the Commonwealth. It's a subject that should be talked about and have everyone, those who support it and those who don't. And with any legislation, it's the out of compromise. You know, I might have, and I'm not an expert on any one piece of legislation, I have my thoughts and intentions and passions about certain issues, and this is one of them. So to have other experts industry and the work community voice their concerns, they're certainly welcome to the conversation as well. And if we come up with a compromise that's in the best interest of the health and well-being of, you know, the public school students in the Commonwealth, then that's a victory.
So where do things stand right now? Is it a matter of that there's an ongoing study? Is this legislation that you have authored or co-authored? Where do things stand at the moment with it?
So there's seven co-sponsors of the legislation. I'm the primary sponsor, and it's bipartisan right now and bicameral. So we have senators and reps on both sides of the aisle. The bill hasn't been scheduled for a hearing yet, so we're in the early stages of the conversation. The bill will be scheduled for a hearing before a committee of my peers, and then we'll have an opportunity for people to say, hey, this is important to us or not. So that's yet to be determined, but the session is well underway, and the committees are scheduling these matters each week.
Now, is this something that you hope is going to be addressed before you guys recess from formal session, and that it becomes an informal thing?
Well, this is the beginning of the 20-month legislative cycle. So this summer, we don't actually take an official recess. There are opportunities for with holidays and so forth that We may not be in formal session, but we will be working through this summer. I don't have any expectations other than respecting my colleagues and the chairs of the committee that the bill will go before for whenever they deem it appropriate to have the bill heard. You know, it will be, and it has to be, by the rules of the legislature, be heard this session, which would be any time between now and next summer.
You mentioned that besides being the author, that there are a number of other bipartisan, you actually have some good support on both sides of the aisle. What's the depth as far as the folks who have signed on? Does it seem like you have a good number of reps and senators that are on board for this?
Necessarily say a good number. There's other legislation that I have filed that has a significant amount of co-sponsors, but this has certainly a start. And I'm also mindful that this may be a priority piece of legislation for me, but my 159 other colleagues in the House of Representatives, they have their priorities. So it's a conversation that's starting not only outside the building with, you know, folks like you and your audience, but also inside the building with my colleagues. And there was close to 6,000 bills that this past January we had an opportunity to sign on to and co-sponsor and file. And this was one of those nearly 6,000 bills. So I'm pleased that there's some interest that just passively came about. Again, the conversation is just beginning, and we have some way to go, but it's worth us having a discussion.
I think it merits also asking what you're hearing from folks in the district. Are there folks in the district that are aware of this legislation, and have you had any feedback?
Actually, yeah. There has been some coverage of it and some heightened awareness, and a lot of people say to me, I agree with it. You know, so, but it is premature at this point. You know, we have to have teachers, of course, are going to be a major component of the conversation. We value what they do in the classroom, I value what they do in the classroom, so I want to make sure that they're also represented and have a voice at what compromise could take place. And I know there's some schools in the Commonwealth that are taking up pilot programs. If something of the conversation evolves to a pilot program, then that's a win as well.
Yeah, we're speaking with State Representative Paul McMurtry, representing the 11th Norfolk District. Did you have another question, Mark?
Yeah, Representative, in regards to changing the times, is there any school systems in the Commonwealth that are actually doing what you're looking to achieve?
Yeah, there's a few scattered throughout, and you may have to check this. It's not in my district, but the town of Melrose, I believe. And there's some private schools that have also implemented it. So. And it's happening in other school districts in the country. So it's time for Massachusetts, who's typically a leader in many of these education initiatives, top and, we produce these top students at all levels, from elementary on to higher education. And if this is something that can give students in the Commonwealth even a greater advantage, then I'm looking forward to a healthy discussion and a debate.
And do we have a bill number?
We do, and let me see if I can, it's House Bill 3480.
There you go. Fantastic. I got to tell you, it's been great talking with you. Is there any other key pieces of legislation that you want to take a moment just to give our listeners a little bit of insight about for a moment or two?
I am extremely grateful for you asking that, Kevin. Thank you very much. I have filed a bill that is another priority piece of legislation, and that is House Bill 2864, and that's called an act. It's titled an act to protect youth from the health risks of tobacco and nicotine addiction. I'm driven by this strong moral obligation to keep 15, 16, and 17-year-olds from purchasing tobacco products. The intention of this legislation will raise the age of any retailers in the Commonwealth that sell tobacco-related products from 18 to 21. It's already been adopted locally by the good work and the diligence of many local boards of health, including my own in the town of Dedham. that have raised the age from 18 to 21. This will set a standard set of policy in place for the entire Commonwealth and level the playing field for everyone. It also prohibits pharmacies from selling tobacco. We want pharmacies to be in the business of health care and getting people well, not making them sick, and also includes what we see on the rise is e-cigarettes and electronic delivery of the tobacco and nicotine. So that piece, that now there's an example of a bill that that was just recently heard, I believe on middle of May that bill was heard, but that bill actually has an overwhelming number of co-sponsors. It has 104 of my legislative colleagues have signed on to that, and we're hopeful and optimistic with its broad-based support that we'll see that signed into law and placed on Governor Baker's desk soon.
One other side question, just kind of an idea of maybe a glimpse as to how your district is handling the recreational marijuana law, and whether you've got moratoriums across the district as to pushing things back until the state kind of gets its faculties about how to proceed with it.
Well, there's a balance there. I mean, personally, in my town, I know the conversation of the selectmen is taking place, and it passed in the town of Dedham by just one vote. So it wasn't an overwhelming victory. I know many of the proponents of the ballot question initiative are displeased with the legislature for delaying the implementation, but the legislature has an obligation to try to make something work. I know from my colleagues who serve on that committee, it's not to change the will of the voters. I mean, the democratic process took place, but there is definitely a concern and an obligation on behalf of the legislature to make sure that the many of the concerning side effects that will take place with this, you know, the medical, the public safety, the healthcare related impacts are all addressed. And that's what the legislature is doing, is just taking their time to make sure that the right thing is done. But it's not going to delay implementing delays in implementing the will of the people.
Representative, we want to thank you for joining us for this segment of Monday Night Talk. And we're looking forward to having you back on again. Have the fine folks in your office, Joe, and some of the folks that I spoke to be able to get you on to keep us in mind if you do have anything moving forward or even any updates on the legislation that we talked about in regarding to moving back school starts. I'd love to stay in the loop on this.
Well, I really appreciate the interest and the fact that you are bringing this to your listeners, and I welcome the opportunity to continue the conversation and engage on other issues as the cycle continues, the legislative cycle continues.
Representing the 11th Norfolk District, State Representative Paul McMurtry has been our guest, and we're going to step aside for a few moments here. When we come back, more Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Peter, it was always Tiny's intention to have a Tiny and Sons business.
That's true. We always worked well together. But my mom had a lot to do with it. I think she wanted us out of the house. She really needed her peace and quiet.
Five kids, you really can't blame her.
Tiny taught us how to get along and work together. And most important, Mother knows best.
Did you learn anything about windshields?
That too, but you really get used to doing a good job. You know Tiny's gonna check it out.
My boys do a good job.
My dad did a great job. 1-888-64-TINYS. Just call.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. This, of course, the second hour of the program, and we have a very special guest for this segment, this gentleman, a colleague of mine here at the radio station, who has been a very important part of WATD for some 30 years, very instrumental in a lot of the stuff that's done in the WATD newsroom. as he has done somewhere around 60,000 newscasts. Some of them, of course, in the morning. But there have been times he's done afternoon shifts. He's done weekends. That all comes to an end in just a couple of days as he'll transition out of the newsroom to more of a part-time role at WATD, whether it's fill-ins in the newsroom, maybe a couple of air shifts, whether it's during the weekday or on the weekends. Who am I talking about? None other than Dave Skill himself. He's going to be here for this segment as well. We have some sound cuts from some folks here at the station and on the microphones chiming in, kind of being my co-hosts. We have Rob Hackler of the South Shore's Morning News, who has worked extensively with Dave, as well as Ryan is here joining us, Ryan Stanton, and they will be here to chat with us about Dave and working with this fantastic guy. We'll start with you, Rob. Welcome back to the program, and thank you for joining me to share some thoughts and some memories about our good friend, our colleague here, Dave Skill.
Thank you. Great to be here. And absolutely. Of course, I want to honor Dave. And it's good to be on your show, Kevin.
Well, not as good as being on your show, Rob. South Shore's Morning News with Rob and Lisa. And Ryan, of course, Ryan is another one who is leaving. But he'll also be here as well. But I thought Ryan, one of the younger folks who works here, he could be a part of the segment as well. And we'll have a little sprinkling of some of the folks that you have worked with, Dave, over the past 30 years. Welcome officially to Monday Night Talk. This is your very, hopefully it's not your last stint, but
first and last.
Yeah, your first stint. And I want to take a couple of moments just to give you time to discuss your career. I mean, here at 959 WATD.
Well, I'm not used to doing things in the evening. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it is kind of dark. Mornings.
It is.
It's the opposite dark that you're used to.
It is indeed. It's been a long 30 years and a fun 30 years. There was a great line in the movie Good Morning Vietnam. It's only radio, and it is only radio, but it's been fun for 30 years, and I want to thank specifically Ed Perry. Ed Perry was the one who got this all started. Basically, what happened was back in 1984, I started volunteering for the Talking Information Center in Marshfield, and they were based at Library Plaza in downtown Marshfield. And then Ed built the WATD building here on Enterprise Drive. And while he was getting WATD ready to go, TIC, the Talking Information Center, was up and running, and I was working there just weekends because I had a regular job during the week. And Ed walked in one day and said, "You know, you sound pretty good. Have you ever thought of being on the real radio?" And I said, "Yeah, that'd be great." And I told him I had done college radio, and I worked at a radio station in Worcester while I was in college. And he said, "What about weekends?" And I said, "That'd be great." So I ended up doing some newscasts on the weekends, some DJing on the weekends. And then my job in computers where I was working went away. I knew it was going away because I was told that they were making some changes, but my job was perfectly safe. And that's when I knew the end was near. And in fact, in the fall of 1989, I came on board with WATD as the morning news guy. And I was quite honored to do that because most of the time when you start a radio station, you start doing overnights or weekends or something like that. And I did do some weekends. But to be the morning news guy right off the bat was interesting and quite a challenge. And it's been very interesting over the years. And one of the things that Ed said to me when he hired me, he says, "Well, here's the deal." That's when you know you're in trouble. Mm. "Here's the deal. You do news for 25 hours a week and you sell advertising for the rest of the time." So what I would do is I would come in my casual clothes and I would do the morning news. And at 9:30, I'd run in the bathroom and put a suit on and go out and try to sell ads.
Wow.
Wow, so you were like the WATD Superman. You would be Clark Kent in the morning.
That's right, and then I put my Superman or my Superman suit on, and I would go
super
out and
super salesperson suit on.
Yeah, well, I wasn't a super salesperson. I did okay, but it wasn't my favorite. It's interesting. I like the part of sales where you service clients, but the going out and banging on doors saying, "Do you want to buy an ad?" I'm not very good at that. So the clients that I've had over the years, and I've had several clients really for more than 20 years, the South Shore Music Circus, Family Pet and Garden Center, as Rob would say,
up on the hill
on Route 53 on the Hanover-Pembroke Town Line. I mean, they've been longtime sponsors, and I love working with these folks, and it's just been fun. But the idea of selling was not to my liking necessarily, but I did it, and it worked out okay. And then over time, I kind of got out of sales, and I spent more time doing the news and also having an opportunity to do feature series. And over the years, I've done feature series on all the Boston Harbor Islands, lighthouses, Quincy Quarry,
Irish moss. Shovels.
We did the Shovel Museum at Stonehill College. We did a series with John Buckley from the Plymouth County Registry of Deeds, remarkable residents of Plymouth County's past. And
Simpson Spring.
We did Simpson Spring. In fact, I was talking to John earlier this week, or late last week, I should say, and we're going to be doing more features with John, remarkable residents of Plymouth County's past, and that kind of thing, and colonial history in preparation for 2020. But I also had a chance to do some DJ work, occasionally filling in during the midday show, and I'm a big oldies fan, and so Ed has allowed me over the years to do my favorite, doing oldies shows, whether it's the Beatles or Motown or the 60s girl groups, whatever it happens to be. So usually once a month I kick Ron Dwyer out and I take over his shift and do a Saturday show, or on the holidays like Memorial Day, Labor Day, Columbus Day, when the DJ wants the day off, I say, I'm here. And so I'll do a specialty show, and that's been a lot of fun.
Talk to me about working with Christine James.
I've been working with Christine now, I think, since about 1990. And it's interesting. We work together, but we don't work really together. We're like two ships passing in the night, because if I do the morning, she does the afternoon. And for a while, she was doing some mornings, and I would do the afternoon. So we don't really spend a lot of time together. The time that we spend together usually is, you know, what have you got for me for the afternoon? What are we doing for tomorrow? And Christine and I have sort of set up a plan where you don't just live day to day. You plan out. Like on Monday, I'm planning for the rest of the week. And Christine and I have always worked together, and we share the responsibilities. I mean, she's the boss. She's managing editor. But titles don't really mean an awful lot around here, to be honest.
No, it's just another hat to wear.
Yeah.
Basically.
And so we've been working together. And traditionally, I do mornings. She does afternoons, and she likes that. And one of the things, we always try to help each other and be supportive. And over the years, we've had a lot of young people who have worked with us.
Thank you.
And they come and go. People like you.
Yep.
They come and go. Some stay a while. Some stay not all that long. But Christy and I have always kind of been the two anchors, if you will. Not meaning news anchors, but anchors of the news department. Right. And a lot of people, young people, what happens is they either are really good and they get a job at some big station. Like we had a young guy from Scituate, Aaron Katursky, works at ABC. Mm-hmm. We had Laurie Kirby, who was the news director for a while. She works at WBZ.
Of course.
Yes. Steve Burns, a young guy right out of Emerson, and WMAL. He wasn't even with us a year. And he ended up down at WMAL in Baltimore as a news anchor and news reporter. So, but then you also have people who say, you know what, I thought this was going to be fun, but I don't think I like it. And they would get out of the business.
They
might join another company. Mm-hmm. We had a young woman who left us and became like a paralegal at a law firm. But anyway, over the years, we've had a lot of people come and go and come and go. But Christine and I have always been here to kind of hold things together.
Well, I thought I would take an opportunity to, that's why we have Rob here, because Rob's gonna have a moment to kind of talk a little bit about work with you guys, maybe share some stories. Now, it'll just be small, because I know later this week you guys are going to do a little bit more of a conversation before Dave has his big send-off to the oldies.
Yes, yeah, so this Friday morning.
I know you're working on that right now.
Yeah, we're working on it.
The Dave Skill Roast.
A nice month. No, roast. It's going to look back.
Dave Skill, this is your life.
Really the fun moments of 30 years, and unfortunately we don't have most of those years. Tried to acquire as much audio as we could back to kind of get a sample of Dave working with the different hosts over the years before I arrived.
No kidding. Well, what I'd like to do is we're talking about Christine, and if we could, I think what we want to do is we want to play Christine. Actually, I asked her if she would give us a little something to share about you, Dave, if you will, sir.
Well, hi there, Dave. It's Christine James. How are you? Dave and I have worked together for over 25 years. Actually, I think it's about 26 years, and Dave knows what I'm going to say because he amazes me. A, the man never sleeps, and B, the man never naps. In all the years we've worked together, too, he's taken two sick days in all these years. One of them I don't remember. He insists that he took it, but I think he may be making that up. Anyway, Dave is not really retiring. He's semi-retiring, which means he'll come in here and he'll be doing some fill-ins for us, which we like. He'll get to sleep in, so I know he actually does sleep, and he'll actually get to do a lot with music because I know music is Dave's first love. And you know how I know that? Because when he doesn't think I'm watching and he's doing his oldies special shows, he's in there lip-syncing to the music. And sometimes when he really thinks I'm even out of the building, I even catch Dave dancing a little bit. So, Dave, sing, dance, lip-sync to your heart's delight, even though you're not really retiring, you're semi-retiring, and we will see you around here now and then. Enjoy late mornings and a little bit more time off. You've deserved them. Christine James, WATD News.
The managing news editor of WATD, Christine James, and that was thank you, Christine, for giving me that little soundbite. Now I had a chance. Now you said you did sales, right?
I do some sales.
All right. So what was it? Did you ever have to sit in on? I heard a lot about those sales meetings. Have you ever had to sit in on those?
Yes, for a while, Christine and I used to have to go to the sales meetings because Christine does a few things, and I have to say that it was torture. It was absolute torture. I just found that not a lot got accomplished, and we had some wild fights. And it was just not a pleasant experience. In fact, after a sales meeting, I was ready to say, you know what, I think I'd rather be out selling than go to the sales meeting. But I'm not a big meetings person. The place that I worked before, a computer company, we didn't have meetings. Your boss gave you something to do, and if you had a problem, you went to him. And when you were done with the project, you gave it to him. But we didn't have a lot of these meetings, which I find to be time wasters, to be honest.
Well, I thought I would take time again to go around and talk with a couple of different people who've been here for a while. And so what I thought I would do is I would tap a fellow salesperson, also a gentleman from time to time who grabs the megaphone and does the good, the bad, and the really, really stupid. Mr. Bob Parkus weighed in when I told him that we were doing a little something to chat with you.
What can I say about Dave? Well, he always showed up, I can say that. He was never late for lunch, and boy, could that guy pack it away. The newsroom was always chock full of empty Chinese takeout, crusty pizza boxes, and not a shred of incriminating evidence. I gotta say, Dave never appeared inebriated on air. I don't know how he did it, frankly, and now I'll never know, because he's gone, and he's taking his secrets with him.
The always creative Bob Parkus.
Now, it's interesting. Now, for people who know Bob Parkus and have seen Bob Parkus, Bob kind of looks like Santa Claus. Yes. Well, Bob and I actually graduated from the same high school. Archbishop Williams. I mean, Bob, I think, was 3 or 4 years ahead of me. So I was at Archie's one day because my wife was teaching there, and I got a hold of the yearbook from Bob's graduating year from high school, and he was this clean cut and short hair, no beard. Something happened over the years.
Really?
Something happened over the years. And it couldn't have been at Stonehill College where he went. It must have been after that. But, yeah, and I see Bob, and, yeah, it's interesting. Bob shows up about 7 o'clock in the morning, and he's here until about 10 and then disappears.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
With his tomato juice.
And sometimes he goes on a bicycle, and sometimes he goes in his van, but he goes. Which reminds me, I do want to say one thing. Bob said, you know, I was never late for lunch. I was late for work once, back in the 1990s. I overslept.
No.
Luckily, okay. At the time, the news director was Bob Stone, a graduate of Emerson, and Bob lived at Fox Run, which is now, I think it has a different name. And I called him and I said, Bob, you got to help me. So he ran over and covered for me. But that's the only time I was ever late.
30 years.
In 30 years.
And it's true about the sick days, right? I mean, I never remember a time when you've...
I've never had a sick day since I've worked with you.
That's amazing. I think that's great. And that certainly says a lot about, you know, showing up and doing the job and dependable and being there.
And setting the alarm for 3 or 3:15. And, of course, during stormy weather, you would set the alarm for maybe 2:30, 2:45, because you just never knew how the roads were going to be. I mean, you're not worried about traffic in the middle of the night, but you're worried about the roads. And that's actually the reason that I'm stepping down. It's not that I don't love what I do. Mm-hmm. I do. But, and if I lived 10 minutes away, I wouldn't retire. But I'm just finding as I'm getting older that it just bothers me, and I get sort of tense about,
sure.
Hey, if I see the forecast and for 4 days out it says snow's coming, I get nervous.
Yeah. Yeah, because you've lived it. You've been out. You've seen what it's like to try to drive in here. You've seen people spinning out, and you know what it's like to try to get
you've
in through the parking
on it,
lot
right?
to yes. actually get in the building and how dangerous it is.
It can be, yes. In fact, you know, I mean, I have seen spinouts, and so the answer was, well, then don't drive in it. So the answer was to sleep here.
Oh, yes, and how enjoyable was that? Oh,
that was goodness. Not... So anyway, when Bob Stone was news director, Bob lived at Fox Run, so if it was going to snow, I would stay at his place and just trudge through the snow down Enterprise Drive to get in the building. But then he left us, and I was out of luck. So my wife said to me, I'm going to get you a cot. And so... So we ordered a cot from L.L. Bean.
Wait, is that leaving with you? I was going to start using that.
Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with that. I was the Dave Skill Memorial
cot. You could
sell it. Anyway, what I would do is if there was snow coming, let's say there was a snowstorm coming at 4 o'clock Monday morning or 3 o'clock. Sunday night, I would drive down here before the snow with some food, and I would sleep, you know, or attempt to sleep in my L.L. Bean cot with a blanket and sheets, but you never sleep well.
Yeah.
And, it's not so bad if you do it like once a year, but sometimes, you know, 2 years ago, the winter we had with all that snow, I was here for like 3 or 4 nights.
Yeah.
Not in a row. I think it was 2 nights in a row and a night and a night.
But in 30 years, that had been that gets old.
It gets old real quick. It gets old real quick. I figure on average, I probably had to sleep over, on average, a couple of times a year, which is a couple of times too many.
Yeah, you've done it.
I've done it too. I actually slept downstairs on an air mattress and... Yeah. And one night, a couple of mice ran by me. I'm like, whoa, what is this? It's interesting. Even the mice get cold.
Yeah. I've had to do it once.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, no.
I think you tried to sleep in your chair, didn't you?
I tried, yeah. I should have gone with a cot.
Well, use Dave's cot. No, Dave was used
it. You know what's interesting? Over the years, whenever it snowed, it was always one of my mornings to work. I've noticed that. It always seemed to be my morning. It never snowed when Christine. It never snowed when Christine was doing a morning. I can't figure that out.
I know. Yeah, you're right about that. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Dave Skill.
And just to be on the safe side, the cot is not leaving this building until December 30th. I'm not taking any chances.
Yeah. All right, so later this week, it'll be gone. If you will, we got one more person, Jackie McGoodwin.
Oh, wow.
Somebody else who's been here for many, many moon.
A little longer than I have.
Hi, I'm Jackie McGoodwin, and I've worked with Dave Skill for over 30 years, and it has been a pleasure. Dave, you have been great. We have enjoyed many laughs together. I always enjoyed watching you leave with your mattress rolled up under your arm after 2 long days of giving storm coverage to everyone on the South Shore. Our kids have grown through high school, college, adulthood, and we've always had some wonderful stories to share. I will miss you, and I wish you nothing but the best of luck for you and Carol.
Oh, wow.
That again, Jackie McGoodwin with a little sign-off for you.
That's very nice. Thank you, Jackie.
And I want to get to you two guys. Now, how long have you, Rob, been working with Dave Skill?
Well, I came on... full-time in November of 2000 around the presidential election, and I worked at that time with Aaron Katursky in the morning briefly, and then he was kind of at the end of his career here. Now, Dave had done the mornings primarily, pretty much had been the major morning guy pretty much for the last 30 years, right, Dave?
Right. I was doing 5 days a week for a number of years, and then they made some changes, and they took me off mornings, and then I was doing middays and some afternoons. And then what happened was, you know, with Aaron and you, I was basically relegated to doing middays. I was doing a lot of court coverage and reporting from on scene at fires and accidents and things. But then Aaron Katursky came up to me one day and he said, Dave, I hope you didn't throw away your alarm clock. And I said, what do you mean? He says, I'm leaving. And so I think Aaron only did this show for about 4 months.
Yeah, it was not that long. I mean, he had been here a little bit before I had gotten here. But, you know, we changed over the show and implemented the new format at that time. And then he moved on, and Dave got a little chance to see what it was like to sleep in a little bit. But then took on the 5 days again, which was great. And you said, yeah, you'd be happy to jump in. And so you've been, even though I've worked with you, Kevin, and Aaron, and Steve, and Christine, and Dodrell, and other people that have done the morning news anch, primarily it's been Dave Skill who's had the majority of those days, whether it be 5 and then 4, and then in the last few years it's been about 3.
Yes, we've kind of cut it back. Christine sometimes would do 1 or 2, Kevin would do 1 or 2, and I found that working 3 mornings was nice because it gave me a chance to be on the radio. It also gave me a chance to, you know, spend time at home and sleep a little bit.
So, yeah, I'm about 2045. I'm hoping to cut down to 3 days a week, too.
Are you really?
Yeah. Probably won't happen. But yeah, but that was, it's been great to work with Dave Skill. And, you know, obviously going through the storms, I think about a lot of our storm coverage that we've done over the years where we've kind of just hunkered down. And Dave is, you know, we're doing we did the school cancellations when that was a lot more, you know, of the, when radio was the only way to get that a lot when we started out working really before the internet took over. And we would be in there all morning long. And of course, you know, one of the, big days, although it's such a, you know, to think about, was really 9/11 was the day that, and I think that was the time when, I'm not sure if, was Aaron still here, but he went away or whatever, but I think you were like, well, the only one in the newsroom.
I was.
And had to end up staying the whole day.
Yes. I had come in for the morning, and about a little before 9, we had the television on, and we saw a report of a plane going into one of the Twin Towers, and the assumption was, oh, it's a Piper Cub or something, not a big deal. Well, we discovered it was a huge deal. Mm. And it was one thing after the other with the planes, and then it was one of those days where you just didn't know when it was going to end.
Yeah.
And so, basically, Rob came in and helped me, but yeah, I mean, I was on the air basically from 5 in the morning until about 7:30 that night, and Ed Perry brought in all kinds of people. He brought in an airline pilot. He brought in a psychologist. He brought in a whole bunch of people to kind of comment on this. But again, we were flying by the seat of our pants. We had no idea how this was going to end.
Yeah.
And again, we're speaking with the great Dave Skill, master of the news department, and also a man who loves his music. I know when I'm on with Rob from time to time, and there's somebody from a 60s girl group or a British band.
We think of you, Dave.
We think of you, and like, what would Dave say? What would Dave say?
Right. When we do celebrity birthdays, I'm always happy when we have people from the world of music, whether it be, it might be Mick Jagger or it might be Paul McCartney, something like that.
Give us a good Dave Clark 5 story. Tell me about the drums out front.
Oh, yes. Now, Dave Clark 5. Dave Clark was the drummer, and most bands have a drum kit in back. Well, Dave Clark apparently had an ego thing, and he put his drum kit right smack in front.
Well, it's not the band and Dave Clark.
Right. But it's very unusual. I mean, Ringo Starr had his drums in the back, and most drummers.
Yeah. But those are the kind of things that I've loved. Dave has obviously added a lot to the music conversation. He knows a lot, plus about history. And really, the features have been fun because I've gotten to kind of, assist Dave in helping to, listen to some of the audio that he puts together. And that's been a lot of fun to listen to all those features, whether it be, the Toll House, in Whitman, to, again, talking about the prominent places in history and the lighthouses and the Simpson Spring and the Granite and Quincy. And, it's been great. And that's really been a nice... I think those have been really wonderful, David.
Great compliment to the morning show.
Yeah, in addition to, doing the newscast, it's kind of given you a more of a creative outlet.
And
who am I going to go to for the box office on Monday morning? Who?
Actually, we're going to break my replacement, Dan McCready, and we're going to let Dan get settled for the first few weeks. Basically, my understanding is Dan is going to be doing afternoons just to kind of get into the groove, and then probably in January, he will be doing mornings, and I told him that, yes, part of your responsibility is to do on Monday, you have to do the box office results, count all those ticket stubs, and come up with
it. So it will live on?
So it will live on.
So that newsroom's going to be, because you clean right up after you count all the ticket stubs.
I do.
Is he going to be
I hope he's nice and neat.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope so as well.
That'll remain to be seen.
Now, I want to bring in, Ryan, who has been sitting here quietly being part of the show. I mean, you have transcended not only some of the folks who have been here for 30 years, but younger folks like myself and Ryan. Ryan, what's it been
Everybody's
like?
Younger than me. Are you kidding?
A little bit.
Except for Ed.
Ryan, what's it been like working with Dave?
Dave and I don't really work together that much, but Dave's definitely...
Shift's passing in the night?
Same thing with, when I am in the newsroom, it's the afternoon shift, and, we'll inform each other on what's going on. Dave will tell me what he left me for the afternoon, which
and
is
I always leave
nice.
Him a lot.
Yes, you do. Thank you very much for that. No, it's been great. I've just been in the newsroom for the past year part time, and working with Dave has been good. He's taught me a lot. I've listened to his newscast to see the format and working with Dave has been a pleasure the past year and even before that, just getting to know him over the 5 years that I've been here.
Well, thank you.
And same here. I've learned a lot from you. My inception into the newsroom a decade ago, being able to, go from being a town hall reporter for election results to, you know, learning how to be able to write scripts and do raps and voicers and get an idea of, you know, the grind of the morning and being able to be a dependable part of the morning team or whatever it may be.
Well, that's true. And that's another thing. Dave has really been great at working with almost everyone that has come into the newsroom, helping. I think Dave, have worked to try to make the reporters better reporters. You've helped to make the writers better writers and the anchors. You've given them tips, and you really will take the time, because I'll see sometimes I'll walk by and the phone and Dave will be on there trying to help out or emailing them tips, and you'll take the time in order to help, you know, and I think that says a lot about being a good team player.
Well, I think it's probably my teaching background. I mean, I was trained as a teacher, and I actually taught at Northeastern University evenings for a number of years, and so I do like, and I did some training when I worked in the computer industry. I trained people on computer systems, and I'm the guy that writes all the instructions on how to do stuff in the newsroom, because if it's not written down, it's kind of hard to communicate with people. And I just want to say that anybody who works at WATD in the newsroom, when they go anywhere else, it's always easier than working here, because nobody does news the way WATD does. It's something that I'm very proud of. I mean, we cover all the towns in the area. I mean, you know, Rob, we do storm coverage. Mm-hmm. I mean, people rely on us. You can't rely on a newspaper. You have to rely on us. And so when it's storm time, it's crunch time for us. We've got to get the information out, and we work with a lot of the emergency management folks in this area, and it's really worked out well. And I mean, I always feel that we're part of everybody's family. We're like part of their extended family.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what's, you know, they're, you know, letting us into their homes and cars, and we really appreciate that.
Rob, I want to thank you for sitting in on the segment. We got like 2 minutes left before we wrap up. Jerry Thornton, of course, on deck. He'll be in from Barstool Sports. Talk a little sports here. But I want to again wrap up our tribute to our good friend and colleague here, Dave Skill. Anything you want to say in closing? Tease folks about this coming Friday as to what you're going to do. How many bloopers do you have lined up right now?
Well, no, I mean it's not going to be all that thing, really. There are some fun bloopers that we can laugh around and maybe, you know, have some fun. And I'll maybe give Dave a copy of that when he leaves as well. He can take that home and have some fun with it. But really what we're going to do more Friday is kind of let Dave wrap up his last official newscast as far as his regular schedule. And that'll be the 9 o'clock news this Friday. Then we're going to let Dave have a chance to just kind of talk directly to the listeners who have welcomed Dave into their homes and cars for all these years. And then what we'll do is kind of take a look back. And like I said, I wish we had the archiver like we have now that I could pull up everything. But I've got some stuff with Dave and Kathy D when Kathy D did the mornings. And we're going to have some stuff when Steve Mason hosted in the mornings.
Sure.
And some stuff more from the recent years as well, because Dave doing that has actually worked with a variety of people, David, through the times in the morning.
We have. I mean, I worked years ago with a guy named Joe McMillan, who down does our imaging. You hear Joe in a lot of our commercials.
That's right.
And then I worked with Kathy for a number of years. And Kathy and I used to have a great time together, because she would always pick on me, because we would talk about my, you know, experiences with gym class and shop class in high school and how inept I was. And needless to say, she loved doing that.
Well, Dave, I've loved working with you.
Thank you.
And I thank you for all the knowledge that you have shared with me. And hopefully I can share it with the next young, bright-eyed news reporter who comes in here and be part of the newsroom, hopefully for the next 10 to 20 years, and keep up your name. And, of course, you're not going anywhere from...
I'm not going away.
From what I understand is Friday really isn't really your last day.
No.
It's just your last day being, you know, a full-time news anchor here. You're going to go on to rocking and rolling.
Well, as a matter of fact, the day after the retirement party, I'll be back here doing an oldie show.
Of course, yeah. I love that.
That's a retirement... It's the shortest retirement in history.
Dave, we're going to miss you.
How can you miss me if I won't go away?
Well, we thank you for coming in and doing this segment here on Monday Night Talk.
Can I go to bed now? It's getting late.
Because you actually have to get up in the morning.
Yes.
So we thank you for coming in, and Rob also, and Ryan for being a part of it.
Thanks,
and also the other folks who also shared, Christine, Bob, and Jackie, who shared their thoughts and sentiments. And Dave, this isn't goodbye. It's just we'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
We're going to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk right here on 95.9 WATD.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
This Sunday, travel back in time to 1945 at the Buckley Performing Arts Center on the Brockton campus of Massasoit College for a night of radio and television classics live. A star-studded cast will perform scripts from classic shows like Burns and Allen, Duffy's Tavern, and The Jimmy Durante Show. Special guest star John Astin from TV's The Addams Family will take the stage along with plenty of other local celebrities. Tickets are $18 with discounts for seniors, students, and groups. Buy yours online now. Visit massasoit.edu/boxoffice.
Download previous episodes of Monday Night Talk and listen to them anywhere. Check out 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, welcome back to Monday Night Talk, and it was so surreal to hear Dave Skill, great radio guy who passed this past weekend, and he will be missed, and it's kind of an interesting hour. 7 o'clock, after the 7 o'clock hour here on Monday Night Talk, always can be interesting, and we go from talking about Dave Skill, from one great radio guy to...
Well, to another.
To another great radio guy, even though he's more than just a radio guy. He's going to be one of the cornerstones of this weekend's show, Mr. Rachetel.
Has been for quite some time, actually.
That's one of my questions. How long? How long have you done this?
You know, that's a great question to pose. Yeah, myself?
Yeah.
Probably.
Are you guesstimating for yourself or for him?
I'm guesstimating for myself.
All right. Okay.
So for myself, probably around 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we get joining us a gentleman who has he has invested nearly four decades into the Boston radio market. MC, you heard any TV or radio spot? Chances are you would recognize his signature voice. And does a heck of a Groucho Marx. We have joining us on the radio line, Mr. Jordan Rich. Welcome to the show, Jordan.
Oh, thank you, guys. It's a pleasure. And let me just say, this is the first I've heard about the passing of your colleague, and I just wanted to extend my condolences.
Definitely appreciate it. It was kind of unexpected. A guy who, he never took a day off. Never. Loved that newsroom like there was nothing else.
A cornerstone of WATD.
Yes. Yes, indeed. He will be missed. And thank you for the condolences. We thank you for joining us to kind of help promote this big show. They pulled it out of mothballs, Radio TV Classics.
Oh, gosh, yes. Thanks for having me on. I can't wait to do that the show on Sunday. And, Mark, you're right. I don't know. Was it 7 years ago or 8 years ago was the last one?
I want to say it was about 4 years ago.
Oh, 4 years? Boy, time is a way of stretching when you get older. I will say, though, that I did about 17 or 18 of them. And what's great for me and for many of the people is I don't remember lines too well, so all the scripts are written out, which is very convenient. But it's a great time for people to reminisce about the classic days of radio and also to see a lot of people that you listen to on the current radio dial do their thing up there.
How is it different for you going from the Jordan Rich show? Now you have, Connoisseur's Corner, and you do the weekend preview. What's that like these days?
Oh, life is, I can say this because I'm actually just snacking on them, a bowl of cherries. I'm literally eating cherries talking to you guys about this. No, I did a late night talk show on the Big 1030 for just about 20 years.
Sure.
And gave it up last year on my own decision. And as a result, I can devote time to family and friends and activities like this, guys. I mean, radio is, as you both know, is an art. It's a demanding art. and you give it your all, but after a while, you need to take care of yourself. So I'm doing fabulous, and that's one of the reasons I jumped at the chance to do Radio TV Classics live again, because performing on a stage is even more fun for me. So really looking forward to that.
What initially got you involved? What was the bait on the hook that you said, yeah, I'll do it?
Well, very simply, I am a fan of the golden age of radio. I mean, I'm not that old, but I'm not that young. And I love the idea that I could be part of a group of people, some of whom had done it in the actual golden age, be part of a group of people to reenact these classic comedies and, in some cases, dramas from the 1930s and 40s. And there's a certain, as a very amateur actor, and I'm talking with Mark, probably blushing here because he's a real professional, but as an amateur actor, to get up and make people laugh is such a thrill, and I don't get the opportunity to do it very often. So it was about 18, 19 years ago, maybe more, when I heard about this, and Bob Bowers, yes, the Bob Bowers from Massasoit, sent out an invitation, and I knew some of the greats that were doing it, and I'm talking about the local guys, Norm Nathan, Jess Kane, people of that ilk who are no longer here. And I went to my first one, and I took whatever they gave me, and I came back time and again, and it's been just a hoot.
What does you're a guy that I always see is you're quick-witted, you could think on your feet. How does that, what kind of an attribute is that for you to be able to do a show like this where maybe, you know, maybe you can spice up the lines a little bit by, you know, interacting with some of your colleagues up on the stage?
Well, I'm sure you guys are familiar with the old Carol Burnett show formula where sometimes things didn't go right, a sound effect would hit at the wrong time, or somebody would flub a line, and I think audiences loved how performers would respond. And yeah, I'm a pretty good ad-libber. I think I do better as an ad-libber than I do as a scripted performer. But it's great fun, particularly interacting with others on the stage when a sound effect goes off or when an action sort of receives a reaction from the audience that might be unexpected. We only have one real solid run-through, which is the day before, and because we all get the scripts in advance. So you're not talking about a show that's been rehearsed for weeks. So, and yet it comes off. It's a lot of fun, and the timing is great, and occasionally things happen. So I love, and by the way, the costume department at Massasoit Theater, Mark, is terrific. So I'm already plotting a couple of hats and wigs and so forth that I'm going to be using.
That's Jen Spagone.
Jen Spagone is thanking you right now.
Yeah, right.
Oh, she's the best.
Jordan, don't sell yourself short, because even though it is unrehearsed, you have some natural acting tendencies. And
absolutely.
Actually, we've talked a few times in the past about getting you up on the stage, and maybe now that you're retired, we can have that conversation again. I'm just going to throw that out there to you.
Sitting in my living room, and I'm thinking about working with a dear friend of mine in a few days, Scott Wally, who, of course, was on TV for so many years, and he is a fine and outstanding singer, actor.
Done a lot of regional theater, sure.
Yeah, and I do have that bug. There's no question about it. And having worked in Brockton at the Buckley Performance, I know you guys have a black box theater as well.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I can find a way to, you know, move to Brockton for a couple of weeks, you know, in a rooming house and rehearse with you guys. But it is great fun being a stage actor. Particularly, I think, is more exciting for me than even being on the air or on a television screen, a television set, because you feel the audience's presence. Right. They're there with you, and it's electric. It really is.
That's why we do what we do.
Absolutely.
It's fun. You're talking about moments. You mentioned Scott Wally, probably one of my favorite bits that were done. I think it was Some Like It Hot. We had Jonathan Hall and Scott Wally. And my question to you is, what are some of your favorite bits, whether you are in them or you witnessed them?
Oh, absolutely. And there are just so many. I can remember again, the aforementioned Jess Kane, in just the way he would glide through an Ethel and Albert episode, working with people like William Shallert and Parley Bear. Now, these are names of character actors who go back to the old radio days and TV days. Alan Young from Mr. Ed. I mean, all these great people.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, of all the things, and I've done the Dragnet thing, and I've done a whole bunch of stuff, the most fun, and you alluded to it at the top, was playing Groucho in a live, totally ad-libbed You Bet Your Life with contestants from the audience. And as a Groucho Marx and Marx Brothers fanatic, that was the thrill. That was absolutely a thrill to put on the grease paint.
A classic performance within the annals of history, radio classics.
Well, what's great about performing that role, and again, I'm not the world's best Groucho, but it is that the people are the funny actors. They're the ones, you're just reacting to what they're saying. Mm. And as Groucho did, Groucho was a great reactor, and and I had the unlit cigar, of course, on the stage. I don't smoke anyway, and I would just wiggle my eyes and make an occasional comment, and it was so much fun, and something that I will treasure forever as a great memory.
Follow-up question, Mark?
So, big time, long time, actually, on WBZ. What have you been doing with the retirement?
People ask me that all the time. I'm retired.
Semi-retirement.
The only retirement is a late night, overnight shift. I'm still
part-time.
Mark, as Kevin mentioned, I'm doing several features on BZ. I'm still doing my voiceover work. I'm starting a series of podcasts. Ooh. One is called On Mic with Jordan Rich that will launch soon. That has to do with the voice talent that's out there, and I interview and mix it up with people in the voice business and other projects of that ilk. And I'm just enjoying something that it's a four-letter word that has an F in it called golf. Don't get nervous, guys. and also, just I've got a two-year-old granddaughter, just about two, and she's in New Jersey, so it gives me a chance on weekends to visit her. And all of that is making for a very nice semi-retirement.
I guess I want to throw this out there. You talk about being a fan of the Marx Brothers. I did not realize until I looked at your website that you are a fan of Star Trek, the original series only.
Yes. I had a discussion with somebody about the definition of nerd, geek, and what was the third one? Dork. And I said, well, I comprise all three. A nerd, I know a little bit about electronics, not much, but a geek, that's where I shine, because I'm a 12-year-old kid. I love all that stuff, and comic books, and science fiction, and certainly comedy, and old reels from the 30s, and so forth, and also theater. You know, Mark and Kevin, you mentioned, what am I doing? I'm having a chance to see more theater than ever. I live in the city now, in the Boston area, and there's so much theater that I can kind of walk to, and it's just a delight to not sit in front of a screen all night and watch the tube, but to go out and see live theater. Do you have a Star Trek question to ask me, Kev?
No, I did look for trivia, but I didn't want to catch you off guard. I have a lot of respect for you, and I've listened to many of your interviews that you've done. Probably one of the top people in the New England area when it comes to doing great interviews. I've stayed up until the wee hours of the morning listening to you do your show. I'm a little bit bummed out that you don't do the show, but now I'm hearing that you're doing podcasts. I'm hoping that we're going to get more intelligent talk from Jordan Rich.
Well, that's so kind of you. You know, interviewing people, and there were thousands, literally thousands, was the best of the gig. I mean, I loved just meeting interesting people, and people like Stan Lee of, you know, Marvel fame, or Carl Reiner, or Tony Bennett, by the way, they're not all in their 90s, the people I interviewed, but hundreds of authors, dozens and dozens and dozens of actors and producers and scientists and sports figures, and it just made my life, it made me curious about people, and I appreciate the compliment, because that was what I intended to do. I wanted to bring these people to the air, and much like you do, Kev and Mark, you're able to introduce the WATD audience to cool people and cool ideas, and that's the joy of doing radio, at least the way I like to do it and the way hopefully you guys are doing it as well.
I want to throw out, you know, I'm sure you've had a chance to see the lineup of some of the folks who are going to be partaking in this weekend's event. Your thoughts of some of the folks, Hank, Philippi,
well,
Ryan.
Yeah, I am so excited. And by the way, I know all about the show for many reasons. We were on BZ the other night promoting it, and I've done a lot. I just cut a spot that'll air soon, maybe the next couple of days, on a few radio stations. And by the way, thanks to Sullivan Tire, which is one of my clients and great, great family friends. They're sponsoring the show. But yeah, it's a terrific lineup starring the inimitable John Astin,
oh, yeah,
who of course everyone knows as Gomez Adams and, and so many other roles, iconic roles on television and in film. John Astin, who teaches down in Baltimore on the college level, he teaches at John Hopkins, wow, drama. And along with him, there are just a score of local talent, lots of BZ folks, including Rod Fritz and Lori Kirby, and she's an alum of ATD, of course.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And and Garo Hagopian, another ATD guy.
Yep.
And Hank Philippi Ryan, who's not only a terrific TV journalist, but a best-selling world-class author, and Scott Wally, I mentioned. And the team and crew from Massasoit, who are, Mark, you can comment on them, some great professors and others who are always pitching in.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the lineup actually is the same as it was before, and I think that was kind of
the Massasoit players,
a mark to, yes, to,
is that what we call them?
To for those who are on the mic, yeah. And then those who are in the backstage area, Mr. Ed Krasnow, Bob Bowers, who we mentioned earlier, Jen Spagone, Nathan Fogg will be helping out, Brian Willis. We have a really good team, and we're excited for radio,
well,
TV classics.
I just want to say this, and I have a very close affinity with the school. I was even asked to speak at one of the commencements, which was the greatest thrill. What's great about Massasoit and the way you guys do things over there is it's very accessible to hardworking people who want to get in there and get their hands dirty. And I love the crew. I think that the people who have backed us up, running sound, running lights, and the sound effects, have just been the greatest people. And what can I say? I mean, it takes a village. Oh, God, I can't believe I said that. It takes a giant crew of people to put together any show successfully, and Massasoit has some of the best, not only that, but some of the best equipment. Acoustically, it's a terrific place to see a show. I should add that, now it's promo time, the show is this coming Sunday at 5 p.m.
Yes.
And it's called Command Performance. Now, that relates to the shows back in the World War II era, when veterans were able to make requests, things and people they wanted to hear. And this show is dedicated to our veterans. Many are invited and will be there, complimentary tickets. So it's got an extra special meaning this year, guys, that I think a lot of people are going to take away feeling very, very, very happy about that.
Do you approach this as like this is going to be a one and done, or do you kind of see what happens on the other side if they decide to do another one next year?
Well, I'm not, believe me, I would love to do it more often. This was an idea that Bob Bowers, and I give him all the credit, mm-hmm, he and his team floated. But I always thought, and I think I'm right about this, I believe I'm right about this, that in order to keep it alive and attract new, perhaps new viewers and, yep, new listeners, it might be a good idea to add that two-letter word, TV, to the title.
Sure.
And that's what happened. So this year, and I am tickled pink about this, there are actual examples of TV shows that we're doing on the air, quote-unquote, on stage. And one of them is The Honeymooners. So there's no funnier show in the history of television than Cramden and Norton. And that's going to be one. But I think if we do it in the future, adding more television references would be a great way to keep it going. So, yeah, I'd love to see it continue.
We are speaking again with the great Jordan Rich, who will be a part of this fantastic build taking place at the Buckley Performing Arts Center, the Brockton campus of Massasoit Community College, right off of Route 27 as I said, in Brockton. Tickets, 508-427-1234. How much are tickets, Mark?
Tickets are $18 for general patrons, and then it's $16 for students and seniors, $14 for groups of 10 or more.
Jordan, any stones we haven't turned over while we're sitting here talking with you, but did you want to kind of chat about for a couple more moments?
I will say, well, first of all, there are lots of stones to turn over. I don't know if we want to look underneath, but what's fun about doing the show, too, for us on the day of rehearsal is that each show, each individual show, and there will be a Jimmy Durante show, my friend Irma, there'll be a bunch of them done, has a director. So there's somebody who actually helps guide the actors, because even though the scripts are there in front of you, you sometimes need a little direction as to what the intent of the writer is. So I just wanted to say thank you to the directors, some of whom are colleagues of mine, and some, many are younger than I am and some aren't, because they play a very pivotal role, and it's not just getting up there and reading the lines, it's acting the lines, it's becoming the characters. So that's all, just wanted to say.
And did anybody approach you to direct? Because I could see you being a good director. I could see you giving somebody
a
approach.
I would never want to be a director. Absolutely not.
No.
First of all, I'm so happy to be on stage, and I'm a ham. But I have a problem. I think I don't know if I'd be too nice or too overbearing. I'd be either one. I wouldn't be in the middle.
Okay.
And I like this life of not having to worry about things so much, so I just want to get up there and have fun.
Okay. If I could just ask real quick, how is good friend and partner Ken Carberry doing these days?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, Ken is my business partner.
Yep.
And best buddy, and for years he did...
sound
effects. He was the Foley man. He did the sound effects, and he's going to be an audience member next week. So he's going to be there, and I know a lot of folks, including my folks, my parents, God bless them, are hoping to come, and it really is a show that, obviously, for those who remember the golden age of radio, and that's our seniors, they really dig it, they'll really love it. But I've had people who are a lot younger, and Mark, you can attest to this too, come to the show and say, holy smokes, it was a riot. I mean, it was just, it's just funny stuff. It's clean, it's family oriented, but it's still very, very funny.
Yeah, it's great for all ages. I would even say from my generation going on to even those who are younger, it's the medium is basically a novelty now. So for them to see radio shows performed and the good, clean, fun humor that comes from it is a revelation to those my age and younger, I would tend to think.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier the fact that I'm doing a podcast or two, and you're going to see more and more podcasts, online productions that are creative, that much like Serial on PBS, that will draw you in. And probably radio drama is not dead. Radio drama and comedy is not dead at all because of the internet. So it's good to look forward to that kind of thing in the future.
We should definitely talk.
anytime, because I do have a little more time now.
Excellent. And did you want, at least we want to throw in also Ken Meyer as well, who I believe is going to be there as well?
He's not a throw-in. Kenny Meyer is a national treasure.
I mean, amen.
He's a dear friend, and he's been the pretty much the official host of this thing, right, since it began? Because he did the radio shows for years, kept those golden age radio shows alive on regular radio, and Kenny is just a delightful guy. He's just gotten married recently, and he's excited, I know, to be there and introduce various shows and move things along. So, yeah, absolutely, man. He's the best.
And nobody's ever done a better Tonto than him.
I was just going to say, you mentioned moments. Seeing him in a headdress was absolutely the prize of admission with Fred Foy.
Yep.
The original announcer of the Lone Ranger.
And speaking of Fred Foy, you mentioned earlier the fact that we have vets, we're celebrating our veterans with the Command Performance.
Amen.
And we're also celebrating Massasoit's 50th anniversary. But the original reason why we did Radio Classics, Radio TV Classics, then and now, is also for
students.
Scholarships.
Yep.
And for fundraising.
Right.
Both of the scholarships from which both Kevin and I have both benefited, having been students in Massasoit Fine Arts Program.
That is so great. So you glad you mentioned that, and certainly happy for you guys because you're both wonderfully talented, productive gents who have done so much with your education. And I can't think of a better way to have fun and make and say, what's the word, play it forward. So the scholarships nice. Have done just that. And that's why I love Massasoit, because it's a school that really is for people who work hard. They're commuting, they're working other jobs, mm-hmm. raising yep. families, and just putting their nose to the grindstone and getting great support. So bravo, it's great to raise money and continue to raise money for scholarships here.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us for this segment. We got just a moment or two left as we're going to wrap up the program, but we look forward to seeing you on stage and performing this coming Sunday.
But Kevin and Mark, you guys are terrific. I've been very honored to be with you tonight, but also it's a real treat to work with you on and behind stages and all that. So let's knock them dead and let's fill the house on Sunday. What do you say?
Sounds like a plan. It is the one and only Jordan Rich, a radio personality, voiceover guy here on the radio and on TV. And who knows, maybe
a local actor soon maybe, to be born.
What are you doing for the fall? You got to, Mark, you're going to...
Well, you know, it's funny. We have a meeting tomorrow about the season next
really?
Year. So, yeah.
Hey, you might want to send
All right, I'll tell you what. Just keep me in mind, and I'll talk to my people. We'll talk to your people. We'll do lunch.
We'll do lunch. Thank you for joining us.
All right, take care.
There he is, Jordan Rich, again. He's one of a number of folks. We got Barry Nolan. John Astin from the show, help me here.
Adam's Family.
Gomez. Hank. I was going to say Gomez, and I'm like, oh, no, it's not it. Adam's Family, and also a number of anybody who's a fan of watching some of the game shows. I've seen him on a number of game mm-hmm. shows mm-hmm. as of late. So he'll be there, as will Laurie Kirby, Rod Fritz.
Investigative reporter Hank Philippi Ryan.
Author. Oh, my God, yes. Author, and then WATD's own Gara Hogopian, mm-hmm. Who's also BZ, will be there. 508-427-1234 is the number to get your tickets for this Sunday's performance at the Buckley Performing Arts Center. This is, again, starting at 5 o'clock Sunday, Brockton campus of Massasoit Community College. Anything that I missed, my friend?
www.massasoit.edu/boxoffice if you want to order online.
That's the easy way to do it. Coming up next, it is Stan in the Gang from South Shore Live. From 8 to 10 o'clock. I wish I knew who they had coming in or what they got for the 9 o'clock hour, but stay tuned. They usually have some kind of fun and exciting conversation to start things off, and usually it's very centric to the local area. Stan's a guy who keeps an eye on what's going on locally when it comes to some of the guests that he has, whether it's someone with a store or a business. Definitely tune in. That's all the time we have. Until next week at 6:15 p.m., have yourself a great evening.
South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. 95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.